The week in Davos, Switzerland has come to a close, where all the, or many of the heads of state and the elite of the world come together to have meetings, and they attend what is called the World Economic Forum. Well, typically the news that comes out of the World Economic Forum is dry at best. But when Donald Trump is in the White House, there is always a lot for them to discuss over their wine and cheese. And this year, it certainly was full of excitement. There has been a lot of change in the world since, well, Vladimir Putin started to move west. That has been a huge change and an enormous shock for Europe as Ukraine was invaded. Well, now, since Donald Trump is back into the White House, we are 1 year in, and all of a sudden, Maduro was thrown out. The United States set their eyes on Greenland. Iran is sitting wondering whether they're going to be attacked. The U.S. is threatening there as well. And this structure that was set up post-World War II has really been crumbling. It was set up with the United Nations and many other of these global organizations that were meant to bring peace. NATO was organized and has truly brought peace. If you think about the last 100 years, there's been since, well, maybe not 100 years, 80 years, since World War II, it's been mostly quiet. Yes, there's been Serbia that has bubbled up and other conflicts, but for the most part, relatively quiet and peaceful until Russia really started to flex. It used to be that the world was, after World War II, it was a multipolar world with Russia and the, well, at that point, it was the USSR. Them and America were the two powerhouses of the world, and they met along the Iron Curtain in Germany as it was split, and the USSR came to an end at the end of the 80s. The Berlin Wall came tumbling down, and the world really became a unipolar world, as it's called. And this is not something that Vladimir Putin was very excited about. But for the countries such as Canada, where I reside, and even Britain, France, much of Western Europe, it's been great. In fact, for Eastern Europe, it's also been great. There's been no world wars. That's always a plus. So it's been great for much of the world. But for Russia, as it's now called, it really is not the situation they wanted. We'll inject here also that it's not really what the Vatican wanted, because Vatican foreign policy does not align with U.S. foreign policy very often. And so the U.S. really was the world's policeman. It was the military that dominated the waves and anything else. And this has been challenged by Putin, but he's struggling. But now, Donald Trump back in the White House and making the moves he is, it is rattling much of the world, certainly here in Canada. Now, if we come to it from a Bible prophecy standpoint, it's really interesting, because the idea that NATO, this North Atlantic Treaty Organization, would exist and it would have certainly all of Western Europe, Britain, America, Canada, and also now, as it expanded, much of Eastern Europe as well, this versus Russia, that is not what is in the prophecies. It doesn't fit in the picture, into the picture of the last days at all. When we come to Daniel chapter 11, for instance, there is, that go all the way back to the Ptolemies, it goes back to the start, Alexander the Great, and then moves into the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, as these two power structures to the north and to the south of Israel, and they war between each other. that picture is historical until you come to near the end of the chapter, as we come in at verse 35, and it starts talking about the time of the end. So this prophecy has its main focus early, a long time, you know, millennia ago, but then it does, as many prophecies do, it jumps forward into the time of the end. And verse 40 specifically, it says the time of the end. So this northern and power, northern and southern power structures is what comes back into view as we come close to the time of the end, as it's called here in verse 40. That fits also with Zechariah chapter 6. You've got two mountains of brass, and there's the chariots that come between them. That's, if we pull that out, that is the Savior of Israel as he comes with the saints with him. Two mountains of brass, again, northern and southern. When we come to Ezekiel chapter 38, I'm going to put that in front of me. Ezekiel chapter 38, we see it again there. We've got this power player in the north, Gog of the land of Magog, and he has a confederacy at the beginning of the chapter, but he comes out of verse 15, out of the uttermost parts of the north in the RV, the north parts, and he comes against Israel. My people Israel, God says. So, again, here's the northern power base. Now, when we come to those that oppose him, verse 13, Sheba and Dedan. Where are Sheba and Dedan? Those are the Gulf states, the southern Gulf states, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof. And they will turn around and say, are you come to take a spoil? We're not going to dwell on it now, but Tarshish aligns with, biblical Tarshish aligns with Great Britain. And some people may have, you know, not seen this before. There's certainly information if you get the Bible Magazine or in previous Bible in the News, is for sure. We've gone through this in greater detail than we're going to now. But Tarshish is is the leader of a group of nations that are young lions. They are it's a mother nation with offspring, so it's got some sort of an empire. And it has, if you go into it, you can look up the metals that come from, that can be mined in Tarshish. Most importantly was tin. Certainly the British Isles were known for that. But most importantly with Tarshish is that actually when you come into the prophecies of the last days, Tarshish will be, it will assist the Jewish people in coming home. Now you might say, well, Britain didn't do that really much since the White Paper pre-World War II. That's true, but they were the ones early at the turn of the century that were there for the Balfour Declaration. There was a moment in time where they really were the ones that pushed it forward and pushed it through. And even in some of the harder times, they still did protect from the Arabs to a certain point, the early settlements. And then it's picked up by the eldest, the oldest child of the empire that leaves home, or the first to leave home, and that is the United States of America, where, you know, it carries on, you know, many of the characteristics of the mother. Most notably for this discussion is the assisting, the backup, the support of Israel. Now, when we come to and look at these prophecies, all of these have this northern and southern power, these two centers of power that compete. This is not the world order that we have seen since World War II at all. And so we've long looked for these things. Included in that, or coming out of that, is that the fact that Britain does not belong in Europe. It's not her place. The southern Arab nations being hostile to Israel, that's got to change. They will, at least to some degree, we see it in an enormous way in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, right now. That was an incredible change that's happened and is still continuing to happen. So we need more UAE. Britain, it can try and go back into Europe. Its place is not in Europe. And the more she hangs around Europe, I think it's going to be harder for her in the future. this NATO alliance to drive this home. It's an east-west division. It doesn't fit with what we have in the prophecies. So things had to change, and things are changing. Do you know, when you look to certainly all of my lifetime, colonialism is one of the things that's oh so scorned and oh so looked down on. War has been something that certainly, you know, there's always pockets. There's as we said, there's the Serbias that have gone on. There's war in Africa and there's war in the Middle East, but it wasn't something that was really overly, it didn't grow into anything that was going to certainly turn into anything that looked like World War II. It was always quite quickly stamped out. And NATO's been a big part of that. Not sure that the UN helped any, but NATO certainly has brought some level of peace. Certainly, some would argue the nuclear bomb has brought peace. Really, a lot, because well, if you, it ends very quickly once you start throwing those around. So we've looked at peace since World War II, but this is not the way things look when we come to the time of the end. Rather, we have these power structures that are pushing at each other, as they do in Daniel chapter 11. And we have this in, to use the words of Zechariah chapter 6, these two mountains of brass. Now, when we look at these two mountains of brass, certainly from Ezekiel 38, you'd say, well, there's no question the one mountain of brass is going to be Gog, the great proud one that's there. But this southern one, maybe we didn't look at the southern mountain of brass and expect it to act so much like a mountain of brass, which brass in scripture is the flesh. You see that in Goliath. Goliath was covered in brass, and he actually defied the God of Israel, and he was the farthest thing from a moral stronghold. Now, when we look at the southern group of nations, specifically when we look at Britain and her offspring, there really has been traditionally a higher level of morality there because of the effect of the English Bible, and that's a beautiful story in and of itself. We've become accustomed to the English-speaking world, especially, really acting in a way that is, you know, quite civil and in the best interests of her people. As we say, the days of colonialism are long past, but they're not, because when we look at these power structures as they come in Daniel chapter 11, here they are, pushing and jockeying again. And what we've seen is the United States under Donald Trump really start to push this in a big way. In response, Donald Trump would say to what Vladimir Putin has done. The Chagos Islands were something that Britain decided they were going to give up. And it didn't seem like it was necessarily going to fit very well, because you think, well, you're supposed to be there in the south. In Ezekiel chapter 38, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, they're there, and the young lions are there to be able to say, in the south, art thou come to take a spoil? So, you know, the idea that Britain and America would have at least a strong foothold in Egypt and in the south makes a lot of sense according to Ezekiel. In fact, that's what we would expect. So the idea that the Britain would give up the southern islands of the Chagos Islands, it's one of those things you watch and things will always turn around. But if it's going to be the king of the south, why are you giving up your these super strategics, these islands that are there in the south? Well, Donald Trump stood up and said, no, you're not. So we'll see where that lands, but it looks like it's going to be called off, and the islands will stay in the hands of Britain. And then he's saying, "Well, Greenland, we need Greenland. Why? Because Russia is trying, and China, but Russia is trying to dominate the North. Yes, they are. And so, what are you going to do about that? This southern power? Well, in the case of the United States, it's she's saying, well, we come from the Western Hemisphere." and we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be taken over. So you've got Maduro and the Greenland. Those situations need to be either in Greenland, in the situation of Greenland, he wants to put it under the control of the U.S., and in the situation in this, in, well, not just in with Maduro, but certainly in the South, he wants to assert dominance there. Well, the interesting thing is, if you look at the prophecy of Joel chapter 3, again, time of the end prophecy, we know that from the beginning. Behold, in those days and at that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they've parted my land. Interesting, they've parted my land. If you look at what all the nations have done since the fall, well, Britain and certainly at the United Nations, they are forever trying to partition the land of Israel, and now they're still talking about a two-state solution. God says, well, actually, no. So, but it's the point here is that it's the end. It's when Judah and Jerusalem have returned back from captivity. Well, if we turn over in my Bible, turn over a page to verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles or the nations, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now that's really interesting because, so when we come close to the time of the end, as we start, you know, looking at the events that we would expect, the idea of these nations starting to assert themselves and trying to become dominant again makes a ton of sense. And here are these nations that are preparing for war. In fact, they're taking their plowshares and beating them into swords. When you look at the conversations in Davos, many of the nations, including Canada, are boasting of defense spending. And that's really significant because Trump before said they weren't even, NATO wasn't even spending 2%, and now they're saying they'll spend 5% of their GDP. Russia is absolutely continuing to turn up arms production. This is exactly what we would expect. But the fact that it's mighty men trying to both assert themselves, this actually fits right in with what we would expect. Now, specifically, we're going to call on two leaders, the speeches of two leaders. The first is of Canada. Mark Carney was the governor of the Bank of England, and at that point, he was voted as the most influential Roman Catholic in the United Kingdom. He is now the Prime Minister of Canada. Well, he has this to say as far as the change in the world order and the change in how the, you know, this order that all of us became so used to. He's saying that it is changing. This was earlier in the week.
Let me be direct. We are in the midst of a rupture, not a transition. Over the past two decades, a series of crises in finance, health, energy, and geopolitics have laid bare the risks of extreme global integration. But more recently, great powers have begun using economic integration as weapons.
And so he'll carry on, but these great powers. See, what he's seeing is that things are changing and we have this rupture, not a transition from the old order to a new order, but it is a rupture. It's happening quick, and he will come back to this later in the speech, and we'll just find that for you now. It is really, his speech was actually one of the ones that they were saying was certainly more memorable and one of the speeches of the week to listen to. And so if you want to dig into this, I would actually recommend listening to his speech as he discusses this great change that's taking place. And here he is again.
Taking the sign out of the window. We know the old order is not coming back. We shouldn't mourn it. Nostalgia is not a strategy. But we believe that from the fracture, we can build something bigger, better, stronger, more just. This is the task of the middle powers. The countries that have the most to lose from a world of fortresses and the most to gain from genuine cooperation.
So there you go, the middle powers. And when he talks about the middle powers, that would be Canada. We're a middle power, and here you are. They have the most, these middle powers have the most to learn from a, lose from a world of fortresses and the most to gain from genuine cooperation. Yeah, because these middle powers have just relied on the United States to be their guardian, essentially. And now he says it's changed, and we can't, there's nothing you can do. It is, the change has come. Well, that is really interesting, because he wants to build something bigger, better, stronger, and more just. Well, there is something that's going to be built that's bigger, better, stronger, and more just, and that will be the kingdom of Israel restored under the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that time, he can see the world orders changing. Well, from Bible prophecy, we expected the world order to change as well. But see, we'll talk about this. There is a new world order that's coming, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to change to this world order as seen in the prophecies in this transition time as we go from this world order that we knew into the world order that we see in the last days, and then it will transition into the new world order that will be a new heavens and a new earth. But it's really intriguing as we see these powers come to terms with a new reality. Here we are again. This is now Merz at Davos, and this is the leader of Germany.
Now, in recent days, the United States administration has vehemently demanded greater influence in Greenland. Washington has argued that this is an imperative to counter security threats in the high north. We welcome that the United States is taking the threat posed by Russia in the Arctic seriously. This threat is itself an expression of great power rivalry.
The fact he says that the U.S. wants to go and stand up to Russia in the Arctic, he says, is the expression of great power rivalry. That's almost worth writing into your margin in your scripture. That sums up Ezekiel chapter 38. That sums up certainly Daniel chapter 11. Great power rivalry. That's what we have been waiting for a long time. Certainly all my life, we've been waiting for this, because as I grew up, Russia was on the downward slide, and then it was a failed state. And then you know, the pictures of the rusting Russian submarines in port became, that's what we were used to. It was a failed Russia or USSR. Well, we've been waiting for that to turn, because that's not what we saw in the scripture. This great power rivalry, as he calls it. So this is exactly what we've waited to see, and it is taking shape quickly. And this is what Mark Carney was saying from Canada, that it is happening. It is the old order is being torn up. Now, in the end, Canada, for all it wants to go elsewhere other than with the United States, in the end, it is a Tarshish nation. And the amount of trade that goes between us is certainly not something that's going to change very quickly. But when we look at the world order changing, it could get quite ugly. But ultimately, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And what this is all doing is essentially heralding for us the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, we get my apologies, 2 Peter chapter 3, He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, there you go. We are looking for a new world order. We're looking for new heavens and a new earth. And new heavens and a new earth do not mean that the earth, the context is the earth will be burnt up. We don't see that is not literally. God has made the earth to be inhabited by man. So we're not looking for the world to be burnt up literally. I remember being at a church some years ago, and that's, you know, they read this and they said the world is literally going to be burned up. No, God's made the world to be inhabited, and he has said he will reestablish the kingdom of Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ will rule on the throne of David forever, Luke chapter 1. So that's not what this is talking about. New heavens and a new earth is symbolic language, and the heavens is the ruling class, and the earth is the people. And here we have the preparation here is to get ready for a new ruling class. Well, the ruling class is Christ and the saints. And the thing is, when we see these things begin to happen, what manner of people ought we to be? And that's the thing. When you see this, think, whoa, am I ready for this? That's the question. And it's a sobering question when we see all this happening. But we can be sure that all that's happening is in God's control. I'd leave it there, except we have just a couple things I wanted to say. Number one, I didn't want to get into Iran very much. Right now, there's things that could be said there, but we'll just leave it at this. Whatever happens with Iran, you've got two things that have to be accomplished in that, or at least have to, in the end, that develop. And that's this, you know, the picture at the end. Number one, Iran continues to be hostile to Israel. She is seen on the side of the northern power, which is Russia, as the main northern power there, Gog of the land of Magog. So you've and Persia is with her. Ezekiel chapter 38 at the beginning. So Iran is not going to turn back to some super pro-Israel stronghold that, you know, many would like to see. I don't think that's what we see at all. Secondly, you do have to have the peace of Ezekiel 38. So somehow Iran needs to be in a situation where it can't threaten Israel or rebuild the ring of fire and yet still stay somewhat hostile to Israel, certainly in the end hostile to Israel. So those are the two things. You've got to have the peace of Ezekiel 38 that can be accomplished, and at the same time, the hostility against Israel coming out of Iran or Persia. So that's the situation on Iran. The other thing is, the Bible magazine is just going, already delivering, it's going into the mail or is in the mail. And the new magazine's just come out, Darwinism Crumbles. So the reason I wanted to mention this is because it's the beginning of 2026, and we would really encourage anybody who has access to the internet to go back to the days of paper. Go back to getting a nice magazine coming through the mail. It smells like, it does, it smells good. It's such a, but I was in printing for many years, so maybe I'm biased. But you get an actual magazine. You can order it online now properly. The Bible magazine before, the ordering online wasn't amazing. We've done some tweaks. It's still under, you know, if you find there's still some bugs, feel free to email us. But it's certainly, it's in the, it's you can order online now anywhere in the world to get the Bible magazine sent through. So order the Bible magazine. Your life will be better. There's no question. Secondly, if you didn't get the last issue, we've got extra of these. We've printed them. They've got a long shelf life because it is for 500 years of the English Bible, which is suitable for 2026 for sure. But that's only the start of the English Bible. There's a lot of milestones over the number of years. So this will hopefully stay relevant for those things if the Lord remains away. And it's not a typical Bible magazine that has a lot of dated material. It doesn't at all. The copies that are for sale are going, they do not have the dated material at all. So it's got a long shelf life, ready for you to give it to a friend or use it as a handout in some way. So there's pricing there. You can ask one of the Bible magazine agents, or again, you can send us an email if you don't have, if you don't see that online. If it's not online, it'll be going online shortly. So that's the Bible magazine. You can subscribe for 2026, or you can get the it was done as a commemorative issue for the 500 years of the English Bible. All right. So there you go. There's lots there. And most importantly, what manner of persons ought we to be when we see these things coming? It's so exciting to see this. And it's nice that you could join us again for Bible in the News. So come back again next week, as we say, for another edition of the Bible in the News. And that's been John Billington with you this week. Thank you so much and take care.